the Why Tesla Model Y podcast. If you're a prospective Model Y buyer, a Model Y owner, or frankly just can't get enough on Tesla and the Model Y in general, then you are in the right spot. Here at the Why Tesla Model Y podcast, we primarily follow the weekly happenings and news over on the r/Tesla Model Y subreddit. For reference, back when I was in the market for a Tesla, I was searching endlessly for a podcast that was solely focused on the Model Y, which didn't exist. So I ended up on Reddit and other forums to learn more about the vehicle. But I've always preferred audio content versus scrolling, especially when I'm on my daily 30 plus minute commute. So if you resonate with any of what I just mentioned, you are in the right place. This is episode 5. It's March 11th. Let's jump right into it with the post that caught my attention over this past week. The first of which is from user Classy-1. It reads, "What is your miles per kilowatt hour?" It's got a photo of the vehicle. So for those that are Tesla Model Y owners, you know, on the bottom left side of the screen at any point in time, let's say you're playing some audio or something like that, if you swipe between those options on the bottom left of the screen, there's also a section where you can see basically your driving efficiency statistics or a quick snapshot without having to drive in or jump into that consumption energy usage app on the Tesla. So you can see your current drive since the last charge and the odometer. And so what we're looking at here is a photo where he's getting, let's go since his last charge or her last charge, driven 86 miles, used 21 kilowatt hours, at 238 watts per mile. Let's back out of this. So the actual post reads, "I'm getting 4 to 4.1 miles per kilowatt hour with highway and local mixed. And sometimes I'm driving 75 to 80, not just 65. What do y'all get?" So for starters, before I even jump into the comments, this is pretty good. I don't know if this user has a standard range or a long range model. So that is applicable in the fact that you think about the Tesla Model Y long range, the entire battery itself, it's an 81 kilowatt hour battery. And so if you think about it, the range estimate for the long range, it's what, depending on your year, anywhere between, I think, 310 to 330 miles. So if you've got, you know, an 81 kilowatt hour battery, you're getting 4 miles per kilowatt hour. You're roughly right around 324 miles per 100% charge, which is spot on with the EPA estimates, especially for those earlier models, 2020, 2021, 22. I think even 23, I think it was 24, where they shifted the estimates down to, I think it's 310 now. So I bring this up to say, one, I didn't know until about a month in that you could even do that. I thought you had to click into the consumption app within the Tesla to actually see your efficiency. Granted, that is the easiest way to see it. You see the burn down chart, you see specifically for your trip and your drive where it expects you to finish versus are you above, are you below, or are you right on pace with energy consumption expected. But this is a helpful snapshot, is at any point in time to see current drive since your last charge, your total odometer, just to see if you're keeping up with those EPA estimates and if you're above or behind pace. And so reading through the comments, it's pretty dang in line with what you'd expect. So salute to this guy, Classy1, the user, getting 4 to 4.1 miles per kilowatt hour. So it's basically just seeing how many kilowatt hours have I used versus the number of miles I've driven. So scrolling through some of these comments, user Free Donkey says, "My lifetime average is 241 watts per mile over the last 13,000 miles, 84 mile commute, 5 days a week." So what I've realized is, and I keep saying watts per mile, but I believe it's watt hours per mile. I'm probably saying that wrong. But what I've realized is that anything below 300 in that category is where you should be. If you're at 300 or above in terms of your, I'll just say WH per mile, not great. And so scrolling through these comments, you'll see that's in line with really driving habits and where you should be. So the second comment actually says there wasn't much detail, but we average around 300 WH per mile in our Model Y performance, so 3.33 miles per kilowatt hour. So you think about it, if they're at 3.33 miles per kilowatt hour, and they've got, let's say, the long range, 81 kilowatt hour battery, doing that math, that puts them at 269 miles of total range, which is pretty far below the EPA estimates. But depending on weather conditions, all of that, we know that that greatly fluctuates. So still solid at 3.3, not bad, but seeing, you know, the OP at 4 to 4.1 miles per kilowatt hour is pretty impressive. Let's see any others here. This one's impressive. I regularly get 4.5 miles per kilowatt hour without hypermiling, without racing about, but just going with the flow of traffic in chill mode, driving smoothly. So that one adds a bit more detail, and it adds up. Essentially, this is a very conservative driver. He's not, or she is not, pushing the speed, not hammering the accelerator, driving in chill mode. So they're outperforming EPA estimates. Again, if you have an 81 kilowatt hour battery, you're in the Model Y long range, you're getting 4.5 miles per kilowatt hour. You've got a total battery range, doing that math, at 364 miles. So it adds up. I mean, you drive on chill mode, you drive more conservatively, you can stretch that range out. It's less fun in a Tesla. And so you can see the last comment on here. I guess you can't see it, but I'll read it to you. It's from Turbulent Abroad 7841. Again, this one adds up. It's 310 WH per mile street driving. And the last part of the comment reads, red light launches, LOL. So, like I said, I mean, if you're launching at every red light, sure, it's fun, but it hammers the efficiency. I'm telling you, anything above 300 for the WH per mile isn't great. So if you can stay below that, most people are far below that. Obviously going to be better for the battery, the range that you can get out of that battery. So anyway, if nothing else, I thought that was an insightful post, just to see how other folks are driving, but also seeing how their driving habits directly correlate to the efficiency. So it's not just things that you read on Reddit, but it's actual numbers behind it, which is interesting to see. So aside from this post, I love the consumption and energy app within the Tesla, because like I said, you can see that burn down chart where you know your real time total range is at. Are you, you know, on the curve for where it thinks you're going to finish this trip at in terms of starting battery percentage and ending battery percentage? Or are you performing more efficiently or less efficiently than where your Tesla and your car thinks you should be? So you can nerd on that out on that for days, but wanted to read through that one. The next post that caught my attention over this past week, this is an interesting one, and bear with me, because it's not about the Tesla Model Y, but it's with what I believe will be a very strong direct competitor, and that's the Rivian R2. So this is from user Shodhari. It had 659 upvotes, 389 comments, so obviously folks that are, again, this was within the Tesla Model Y subreddit, even folks that are diehards or prospective, you know, Tesla Model Y buyers, this piqued our interest. The post reads, Rivian has announced the R2, priced to compete with the Model Y around $45,000, coming in early 2026. So you look at it, and honestly, if you've seen the Rivian R1S, which is their SUV, it's very rectangular, boxy looking, but looks pretty sharp. It looks very similar to that, it's just a little bit smaller. So I've seen a few of those R1S's driving around, those are the seven-seaters. This R2 is interesting because it's priced to directly compete with the Model Y at 45K, or at least that's the estimated price, go-to-market rate, coming in early 2026. So, I mean, you think about the Cybertruck. That was originally rolled out of, hey, we're going to roll this out at, what was it, 40, 45K? Turns out those are, the entry point is, what, 60, 65K now? This could fluctuate quite a bit. Cost could increase, or they could strip it down and hit that 45K number. So we'll see in that regard. But Rivian is definitely one to watch out for. You got the R1T, which is the Rivian truck that they're best known for. That one starts at 69.9K. You got the R1S, the seven-seater large SUV, pretty sharp looking, starting at 74.9K. But now, early 2026, you've got the R2. That one starts at 45K, or at least is projected to start at 45K, and that's directly from their CEO. However, during this R2 launch that happened late last week, they also rolled out another model, which is the R3, which is an even smaller SUV, or shall I say compact, I'd say crossover. So not much space in this one, but they've got the R2 that they rolled out late last week, the R3 that they rolled out late last week, but then also the R3X, which is a more sporty version. It's almost like a coupe crossover, still a four-door, but interesting looking, perhaps off-road vehicle there as well. So looking into the R2, I'm sure a lot of you have seen the buzz about it, you've seen photos, you've watched, you know, YouTube folks and their breakdown for those that attended the event. Plug here, but Everyday Chris is a YouTuber that I follow quite a bit. When I was a prospective Model Y buyer, he posts great content about the Model Y. But anyway, he was at this Rivian R2 launch event, so gave me plenty of intel on, you know, a few initial looks at the R2, but also he was walking around, you could see the interior, he shared his general feedback. So going through the R2's functionality, its features, estimated range of over 300 miles, 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds, and it's a 5-seater. So you don't, as of now, have the 7-seat option like you do in the Model Y. So scrolling down a bit, feature-wise, you've got a pretty dang large frunk. Looks like plenty of room there. You've got a tow hitch option. You can attach bike racks. The interesting thing is the rear window. So of that rear hatch, it slides down, which, man, I wish we had in the Model Y for my dog specifically. But the other interesting thing is, and I think we'll start to see this for a lot of EVs that continue to roll out, is Rivian has now switched to the NACS charge port, which is the Tesla charge port. So it reads, hey, NACS charge port will be on this vehicle, charge anywhere from the Rivian Adventure Network to Tesla superchargers. So expect to see, at least here over the next 2-3 years, more and more Rivians at the Tesla Supercharger network, as well as we know, and I talked about, I think last episode, many other EVs. So if we keep scrolling through here, let me see if there's anything else notable about the R2 that I'd like to share. I will say they don't necessarily take the Tesla approach of removing every single button altogether, but it's pretty dang similar. It's a very minimalist look inside, with even on the steering wheel, all you've got are two large scroll wheels, but no buttons. You've got a large center screen in the smack dab in the middle of the dashboard. You do have essentially a gauge cluster, or a digital gauge cluster for that matter, right in front of the steering wheel. And then it looks like you've got some buttons on the left side where your arm would rest for the driver. So perhaps things like adjusting mirrors or those little things that frankly can be a pain to navigate to and find on the touchscreen of the Model Y. Another interesting feature of this R2 is that every seat in the vehicle folds flat, so including the front two driver and passenger seat. So the thought being, if you're camping, for those of you that that's your thing, you throw a mattress down, you build a bed in there, you can use the entire space of the vehicle. The details looks pretty solid. You've even got two glove boxes for plenty of storage room. And yes, you still have their signature flashlight in the door, or at least as of now, for the R2, and that's their plan. So, anyway, I bring that up because it's a neat-looking vehicle. It's very similar to that R1 that's a little bigger, the 7-seater. Looks pretty sharp, and you got to think, if they come out at that $45,000 price point, you're going to see a lot more Rivians on the road, because this will likely directly compete with that Model Y and Model Y Long Range. So I'll read through a few of these comments. One reads, the car design on the Rivian model looks pretty nice. Agree with that. I will say that the R1T, so the truck for the Rivian, I'm not as big of a fan of. Like, it looks like some sort of moon or space rover. I don't know if it's the headlights or the shape, but the truck is still growing on me, in the same way that the Cybertruck is. I think it's funky looking, but the Rivian SUV, the one that I've seen driving around a bit, the R1S, it is a great looking car. Another comment on here, this is the second most upvoted comment from Anonymo. It says, in my opinion, Rivian is currently in a position similar to where Tesla was a few years ago. They're introducing new cars equipped with nice features like 5 radars, USS, etc., without showing any intent to cut costs by eliminating features like passenger lumbar support and the previously mentioned things. I hope Rivian maintains this approach and refrains from removing components like the USS, radar, passenger lumbar support, etc. So you got to think that comment obviously was referring to how Tesla did that. With 2023, 2024 models, removed the radar, removed passenger lumbar support, some little things to cut costs that unfortunately have a pretty decent impact on, happiness with the vehicle for those of us that own it. I saw somewhere that a day or two after the rollout of the R2, the R3, the R2 itself had over 64,000 reservations already just within the first day or two. So I know it's early, it's coming 2026, but keep an eye out for the R2. I know I can't show it to you on a podcast, but take a look at their website, especially for those that are prospective buyers. Definitely looks to be a great option here if you can wait till early 2026. Next post that caught my attention over this past week. This one's nuts to me. It reads, Model Y Summon Crash. This is from Cultural Pineapple 46. I'll read the post. It says, hey everyone, I just wanted to ask the community about their experiences with the summon mode for their Model Y. I personally own two Model Ys, but only use full self-driving on the 2021. A few months back, my car decided to run over a curb and then hit a stop sign, which ended up forcing me to replace the entire passenger door. And so for reference, this post has a few photos. There's pretty dang large dents on that driver's side, the front side passenger door. It says it took about 4 months to get it fixed and replaced due to the bodywork required to be done on the frame of the car, under the door damage itself. I was curious if anyone else has had a poor experience regarding the summoning mode. Also, I've submitted a claim with Tesla about it, but haven't heard anything back. My insurance put me at fault, even though I was not physically driving the vehicle, nor was anyone in the car. The situation seems to bother me that Tesla will not even acknowledge that it was the car's fault and didn't even try to help the situation. I had to even take it to an authorized repair shop because Tesla themselves would not repair the vehicle. Here's the photos of the damage. The most upvoted comment on here says, it sure sucks, but, and links to the Tesla owner's manual, where it basically reads, warning, summon as a beta feature. You must continually monitor the vehicle and its surroundings and stay prepared to take immediate action at any time. It is the driver's responsibility to use summon safely, responsibly, and as intended. For more information, please see warnings and limitations. So, Tesla, in a way, seems to cover themselves with that language. But honestly, in what other way are you supposed to use summon? I mean, it directly reads, it is the driver's responsibility to use summon safely, responsibly, and as intended. I don't know the parking lot or the situation that the OP was using summon in, but you gotta think it was, they were standing, you know, 50 yards away or something, and wanted their vehicle to back out of a parking spot, drive over to them. The car decided to run over a curb and hit a stop sign. So, I don't know if Tesla wants you to be walking alongside your car while you're summoning it, if it wants somebody in the passenger seat to take over at any time. But obviously, it seems like a feature that's just not ready to go. I don't have summon, I don't have enhanced autopilot on my vehicle. My understanding is that it you can't use it at the moment because they are working on it. Perhaps OP's crash was what prompted them to. So for those of you that do or don't have access to it, really the folks that do and can still access it or have used it, I'd be curious to hear y'all's experience. But enhanced autopilot is tempting, not at the, I think, $6,000 price point, but the, you know, lane change on autopilot, that's a big one, without having to turn it off and back on when you change lanes. And the auto park feature as well is pretty neat. But I think a lot of those features in enhanced autopilot are still really in development. I mean, they're advertised as, hey, this is included in enhanced autopilot, but they're not ready to go, and clearly summon is not ready to go. Another comment reads, I think full self-driving and summon are some of the most dishonest marketing Tesla does. I may get eaten alive for this, but I don't think this should be a paid feature, and I don't think that this is in beta and has been for a decade is anything but a cop-out. Absolutely adore our Model Y and thought for a brief moment about full self-driving package, but it was really FOMO driving that want entirely. Sorry this happened, but I'm glad nobody got hurt. So pretty interesting, right? And that I think those of you that have used Summon, enhanced autopilot, full self-driving know that these features are far from ready to go. The interesting thing is, for those of you that have enhanced autopilot or purchased full self-driving, it doesn't feel ready yet, as that comment shared. Obviously, using Summon resulted in OP's car crashing itself, which is a total bummer. It was probably a moment of, hey, let's try out this Summon feature, let's show a friend, and it totally botched it. So, Cultural Pineapple 46, I feel for you, that's brutal. Hopefully you can get that repaired, insurance backs out of it being your fault. That's brutal. And I imagine you probably won't use the summon feature anymore after that, but good luck to you in getting that resolved. All right, one more post that caught my attention over this past week, and then we'll jump into a quick little segment on my accessories I've added to my Model Y so far, and then we'll jump into the Model Y of the week before we wrap up. But last post that caught my attention this past week I wanted to read because I can directly relate to it is from Objective Big 2043. It reads, identifying my Model Y long range. The other day I walked into my office parking garage, hundreds of cars on multiple floors and in multiple rows on each floor, and at least 20% of them being Model Ys. And I proceeded to where I thought I parked my car and attempted to open one, except it wasn't mine. Looked identical, plain gray, clean interior, parked two cars before mine. And given these cars are parked orthogonal to the walkway, you can't see license plates easily. Now, you can tell me I should really remember where my car is at, and that's fair, or that I should not just walk up but use my app to unlock the car, I'll see the beep, the lights, that's fair too. But the gist of it is, Teslas are insanely popular where I live and work, and a lot of owners are cheap folks like me that'll take the stock gray color. and a lot of them seem to lease since there's no decor or accents on their cars. Which brings me to my question. What's the easiest way to recognize my leased gray Model Y long range in a herd from a distance? Some approach that is low maintenance, visually simple, that I can use regularly that won't mess me up on return. Thanks. So I read this post. It caught my attention because I did this exact same thing. Last December. I've mentioned before, I drove my sister's Tesla Model 3, and that was what got me addicted to and interested in Teslas in general. However, I ran into the situation. I went to a shopping center where they actually had a Tesla store. I wasn't going to the Tesla store, but there was Tesla parking, specifically up towards the front row. I parked right there, got out of the vehicle, went to the shop I was going to, and then came back. So yes, this wasn't my vehicle, it was my sister's, but it was just a standard white Tesla Model 3, no customizations or mods done to it. I walked back to the parking spot, or what I thought was my parking spot. I open the door, I get in, I sit down in the car. But then I realized, wait a second, this is not my car. I didn't leave that center console open. I don't recognize these glasses. So I paused for a bit, but then I got out realizing, oh my gosh, this is not my car. I shut the door. Right next to it in the other parking spot, right behind it, was the exact same Model 3, which turned out to be my sister's, the one that I was driving. Same exact thing, no mods done to it, exact same color. And so that's the danger of the phone key, or really even just using the card key. Because the first car that I had gotten in, sure, I put the card key up there, but the car was already unlocked. It was never locked. And so I was able to open the door, sit in. Perhaps the driver of the car left the keys in there. So side note, but that is the importance of applying the PIN to drive your car. Because even if you leave your phone in there, you leave your card key in there, if somebody can get in, you don't want them to be able to drive. So make sure you add that PIN to drive as an added safety measure. It takes 2 seconds to type in the PIN before you're able to drive. So that's why this post caught my attention, is because I did the exact same thing. I never thought that would happen to me. So for those Tesla owners out there, lock your vehicles before you walk away. But two, and why this post was apparent, was give me some ideas to modify my vehicle to make it stand out more. The most upvoted post reads, or comment reads, fart button in your app and follow the sound. One reads, put those adorable eyelashes over your headlights. And then this final one reads, white Tesla in the Bay Area. I had my emblem and the handles wrapped in the hottest pink I could find. Makes it easier to know where my car is in a sea of white Teslas. So absolutely resonate with the post. It quite literally happened to me when I never thought it would. So if you don't take away anything from this, lock your vehicle when you get out. Make sure you've enabled PIN to drive in your specific vehicle, so even if you happen to leave it unlocked, nobody can get in and drive off with it. And then three, thinking about some sort of mods, whether it's a custom license plate, blacking out emblems, a wrap, tinting the windows extra dark, or something to be able to identify and separate your car from the rest, so that you know in a sea of Teslas, okay, this one's mine. So Objective Big 2043, resonate with that one. Thank you for the post. Finally, before I jump into the why of the week, I wanted to quickly jump into, and similarly on that topic, ways to differentiate your vehicle from others. I just wanted to quickly go over my accessories in just my 2 months of Tesla Model Y ownership I've added thus far. And granted, this is not a sponsored post. Hope to have sponsors on the show at some point, but I just wanted to read through, especially for those prospective buyers, some things to think about. Those that are Tesla Model Y owners, you can probably fast forward 2 minutes, because you've probably seen 30 YouTube videos and seen millions of posts about similar accessories. But for prospective buyers in particular, I think this is worthwhile to read out. A few of these I purchased before I even got the car, but a few I purchased after the fact, realizing that I need them. So I'll just read through the ones I've got so far. One of the first ones was a matte screen protector I got from Test Bros. Really like that one. Eliminates glare, also reduces fingerprints all over the screen. I also got the Chrome Performance Pedals from Test Bros, which I like. Really easy to slip those on. I think it looks much better than just the standard black rubber pedals that come with the standard and long-range models. I got mud flaps, so I got the OEM, the Tesla branded front mud flaps, and then on Amazon I found mud flaps for the rear that were pretty dang similar to the Tesla ones. It was Juno was the brand of mud flaps that I got for my rear, J-E-N-U-O. Honestly, I've got a Instagram up for the show. It's just Y Tesla Model Y is the handle. And I've got, I believe, a photo of my vehicle. It's a black Model Y long range over on that Instagram if you want to see it. But highly recommend the mud flaps, especially for that rear kind of rocker panel where tons of rock chips pop up there. The front mud flaps help for that. If you have dogs, I got from Amazon, it's Mana Max is the brand, M-A-N-A-M-A-X, all one word. It's a dog seat cover. And I like it because it's sturdy, it doesn't shift around, it covers two seats as opposed to all three of them, and I have a car seat in the back, so I need it to cover two max. But it's basically got barriers on all four sides, so it doesn't just cover the front and back, kind of like a hammock style cover, but it also covers the left side and the right side with a sturdy, essentially a box for my dog to go in that's slightly padded. But he seems to like it. It contains him well. It doesn't shift around. Keeps the hair pretty well contained within there. So highly recommend that. Also from Amazon, I got I believe it's from Spigen, the One Touch hidden center console storage. So for instance, if I'm going out to play basketball or something, I don't want to bring my wallet, I can leave my wallet in that hidden center console storage section. So it's basically, you think about when you lift up that center console, the where you would rest your arm on that center console, so that top part that lifts up, right underneath there, you can basically place in that what's essentially a divot or a perfect section for some sort of storage. Spigen makes a great kind of hidden center console storage for that spot. So recommend that as well. One of the things I bought before purchasing the vehicle was a key card holder. I got it from EV Base, which is an overseas seller. I was thinking that was going to be one of the most prominent accessories that I buy. Is okay, this is something that's on my keychain daily. But as I started using my phone key, and frankly, as I put my key card holder on my keychain, I realized this is way too big. I don't need something else this big in my pocket. I'm already bringing my wallet. Why don't I just keep my key card in my wallet? I've got my house key on my keychain, and then I've got my phone, which is my phone key for my car. So the key card holder, I wouldn't recommend buying that before buying the vehicle, because I was hyped up about that, making sure I bought the right one. Turns out I'd never use it because I just keep my key card in my wallet, and I just use my phone as my key for the Tesla, which is by far the most convenient. From Temu, I bought the interior cabin camera cover, just because, paranoid. From Amazon, I bought another item from Spigen, the center console tray, which kind of blew my mind that there's no trays in Teslas, at least in the center console. There's plenty of deep storage room in there, but no trays to organize if you just need shallow storage, sunglasses, things of the sort. So about that, I also really like the underscreen storage I bought from Test Launch is the name of it. It fits absolutely perfectly. It doesn't rock around. It's very discreet. Like, it's just a small tab that you can see underneath the screen. You pull that tab down. You can throw some gum, keys, wallet, sunglasses in there. And then what I love is you don't have to keep it down. You can pop it back up to where it's all hidden. So highly recommend that underscreen storage. There's no sunglass holder in a Tesla, so you need something like that. I also really like, I got from Amazon, it's a blacked out Model Y license plate frame. Model Ys come with a standard just silver, bright chrome Model Y license plate frame with an all-black look I was going for. I bought a blacked-out Model Y specific license plate frame from Amazon that I really like. And then finally, it has not gotten here yet, but this is the one I'm looking forward to most. It's a neck pillow from Amazon. H-O-P-O-N, Hopon, all caps, the brand. This is something that I'd seen Teslas with them before. I thought it looked kind of silly or too bougie or fake luxury. But I think it's drastically needed. I took a three-hour road trip from Austin to Dallas and back a week or two ago. And I realized my neck was incredibly stiff. You look at the shape of the Tesla seats. One, you cannot raise or lower the headrest, but two, that headrest leans pretty far forward. And with the way it backs up against the seat and it's sloped, there's really no neck support. So I was adjusting the lumbar like crazy on the drive, but I'm starting to realize I think it's just the lack of neck support. So more to come on that, but the neck pillow, highly recommend for long drives. I'll report back once I have it, but I think that'll make a massive impact for long drives and fatigue and frankly just my neck, because it was killing me after just a three-hour drive. So those are at least to date the accessories I've got. I've also tinted the windows, the rear windows all the way around. I just did 70%, so essentially not touching the darkness of the factory coloring on the windows, because the rear windows are colored pretty dang dark, but they're not tinted at all. So I got ceramic tint. It is, I can't remember the name. It's the Expel ceramic tint on really all the way around on every window except for the roof. But rear windows, I got 70, so it's not changing the color, but you got the UV protection, the ceramic tint. The front two windows, I did 30%. Unfortunately, there's a 25% legal limit in Texas, so I wish I could have gone darker. I would have gone right up to 25, but they sold 20 or 30%. So stuck with 30% on the front. I wish I could have gone a little darker, but wasn't going to cross over the legal threshold. And then even the windshield, again, I wish I could have gone darker on the windshield, but Texas law, you can't apply any coloring to the or darken the windshield at all outside of just the front. I don't know if you call it an eyebrow or the very top, you know, 4 inches or so, you can apply a strip of tint. But did 70% ceramic tint, so no change to the color, but you get the UV, the heat protection on that front windshield as well. So those are the few, I don't know if you could even call them mods, but accessories and items and things that I've done to my Model Y thus far in 2 months of ownership. As you may have noticed, there's tons of accessories, more than any other car I've been interested in and purchased and been looking at for the Tesla, because it comes so stripped down. The software is great, the vehicle's great, but little things like trays, like floor mats, like storage, you know, mud flaps if you want them, screen protectors. Accessories are such a big thing with Teslas, and it's fun because there's tons out there. Elon's supportive of third-party companies and adding accessories to your vehicle. But something to be thinking about if you're in the market, but even those that own Teslas at the moment, I'm sure it's something that's ever-changing, your accessories in your car. So to wrap up for the show for episode 5, the why of the week, shout out to user Hype36RMax. It just reads, my fun dad duty car. It's a great looking Model Y, definitely lowered a few inches. It's got a great stance to it. Looks like perhaps using spacers toward on the wheels, because it's got different rims as well, different wheels. It's like a 6-prong black wheel that I really like, because it's what would that be, concave, I believe is the word. I don't think it's convex. I think it's concave, where it's the wheels are seated in quite a bit more versus the wheel. That's the problem with most Tesla wheels and Tesla rims, that the edge at least sticks out further and protrudes out further than the actual wheel, so it's very easy to scrape your rims. These are pretty concave to where it doesn't look like that would be an issue. Looks like they've got custom Michelin tires on there as well, so not the stock tires, so that could help too. But I also like the look of, they've got a what looks like a long toolie storage container on the roof of the vehicle, on the roof rack. So that's a good look too. It matches the rims. It's black, plenty of room. Car's lowered quite a bit, which looks great. My only knock here is the tint. It bothers the heck out of me when the front two windows are not tinted and it looks like a dang fishbowl in the Tesla. And unfortunately, before I was a Tesla Model Y buyer and didn't own a Tesla, I just saw them on the road. For some reason, I wondered, can you even tint Tesla windows? Because I saw so many that were just fishbowls. You could see everything in there. There was no tint whatsoever. Thankfully, Tesla's now added at least the coloring to the back windows for those that don't tint. But when I see those front two windows not tinted, it's that fishbowl look. It bugs me. But outside of that, great looking vehicle. Shout out Hype 36R Max. Great looking ride right there. Folks, that's it. That's episode 5. I appreciate you guys tuning in. As I always say, if you would, please pause the podcast. Go give a quick 5-star review. Leave a text-based review as well. I'm curious to know what you guys think. Over on Spotify, I'll leave a poll. Just asking a few questions. Really just one question about the episode, about Tesla Model Y in general. So share your feedback. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Thanks for the time. We will see y'all next week.